This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Valley Central Podcast. Whatever episode number we're on, I don't care. I'm Martin. I'm back. I'm back, Travis. Woo!
Ah, jeez. All right. Into it already.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to be back, man. I love Valley.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude. You've only been away for one episode, right?
Well, I know, but it feels like, you know, 3 years.
Well, it feels like longer now. It's bi-weekly.
That is a great point. So, yes.
Yeah, so if you miss out on two episodes, you're gone for the better part of 2 months.
Yeah, exactly. Valley Central, I'm Martin. I'm back. Joining me tonight, he used to be your intern. Now, he is our esteemed co-host, Travis Williams.
Yeah, all right. This is a complete surprise. I don't even have a speech prepared. Did you run this by Paul? Like, he's on board with this?
Paul does not know and is irrelevant because he is not here.
Yeah, I mean, he probably also won't listen, so he may not tap in.
I don't know. He says he now listens to all the Nerd Legion podcasts.
Isn't that strange?
Whether I believe that or not, I don't know, but that's what he says.
Yeah, well, I don't blame him. I do that too, but yeah, I think is it possible maybe that he used to actually listen to them and he was just putting up a front?
That is very possible. It is Paul after all. But no, I got a comment from a friend of the show, Rob Krieger, who does the Geek Brunch Retrocast, and he says, let me find his tweet. I have so many tweets in the last hour. It's hard to find it. Let's see.
Oh, humble brag, whatever, yeah.
Well, you know. Oh, yes. He said, I'd like to know if you're planning to continue to beat up on the Great Magnet. And my reply to that was he might be getting an upgrade this week. See, so you didn't know, but had you paid attention to this tweet, you would have known you were being upgraded to the Great Magnet 2.0.
Well, I mean, I saw that, you know, I don't want to jump to conclusions. I guess it's not a comprise.
Here's what happened. Paul has been demoted to intern. Paul is interning at the Nerd Legion podcast. Paul is off this week. He'll be off probably the next episode as well. I think Paul's going to take a couple episodes off. He wants to chillax a little bit, do some non-Valiant Central things. And I figured what better time to upgrade you to full-fledged member of this podcast? Because, let's be serious, you've been an integral part of this podcast.
Oh, well, thanks, buddy. Yeah, I mean, it makes perfect sense. You know, I'm still pretty new, so you know, I kind of feel like at any moment I'd be yanked away, you know.
I'm going to sell you off to DMG, and then we'll see what happens.
Oh, Lord, dude. I can't speak Chinese.
Oh, man. So, you know, Paul hates talking about news, but Paul's not here, so we're going to talk about news. Because I think there's some really, really cool stuff coming.
Yeah, dude, I'm excited.
I do want to read Paul's message, because, you know, Paul has to be a smartass all the time. He says,
I do know that, yeah.
Ninjak is a badass ninja spy again. Eric is coming back to Earth. Bloodshot is full of nanites. Piss and Vinegar. Shadow Man's coming back. Harbinger Wars 2. Dysart's coming back. Valiant can't do anything right. They even fucked up fucking everything up. Hashtag is the world still in. Thank you, Paul. Thank you for your contributions to Valiant's podcast.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess I get his. You know, when I saw that last week, I don't know, it's hard to understate, like, how much relief I felt, you know? Because I feel like the DMG changeover, like, basically anything that wasn't formally announced, you know, like was a question, see it, you know? And maybe that's something, you know, but they, you know, comments were made about seemingly not expanding. I think it's possible that certain titles really aren't going to come back, i.e. Savage. Tough to know whether, like, something like that will come back like expected.
Breaking news. But Savage is not coming back.
Yeah, man, that's because I don't know, I just, like, I really wonder what it would have been, and, you know, like, maybe somebody, like, there's space for him in another book somewhere, but again, it kind of, like, points to what are their intentions right now, you know, like the new corporate overlords, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, like, you know, obviously the caveat being you can jump to cons, but, you know, like, I would like to think they would treat like Disney's Marvel comics, which kind of is this is so inconsequential budget-wise, like, what doing the movie stuff is, that, like, we'll just keep it going, in part because, like, having some kind of base loyal, like, it's good for your brand, is going to help you market it when you're trying to bring it to, like, the general public. If they kind of stepped on the fan base and lost degree based on whatever, you want the fans to, because there's not a lot of recognition outside of the hardcore.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. I was, reading up on the news about Dice Art coming back. That was officially, I read the Vulture article, and, it was kind of weird to read because the way they were wording a lot of things, I don't know if you read the Vulture, but the way they worded a lot of things, it seemed pretty obvious that, people don't know what, you know what I'm saying? Cause they're like comparing it to like Dr. Doom and like Poison Ivy and stuff, like comparing Harada to those characters. And, being very familiar in particular with the last two because they're Batman. It was hard for me because I'm like, well, so I get what they're trying to say, but the comparison isn't really fair. I think as Valiant fans, we sometimes get into this bubble where we feel like everyone knows the stuff that we're reading. Because we're in such a tight-knit group and we all talk to each other that it just kind of comes up that way. But when you go outside that bubble, nobody knows what this is or why they should even care.
Dude, I don't have any problem with it because honestly, like, I try to talk to people sometimes, like, even people that read comics, the few that I know outside of, like, the social medias and Nerdy Legion, like just random people or whatever, for the most part, like, they have no idea what I'm talking about for any characters, never heard of them, don't recognize them. That could be a challenge when they're trying to bring it to the market,
Yeah. How do you think that's going to affect DMG's direction when they want to do all these movies, but nobody knows who any of the characters are?
You know, what I think, is an interesting approach, who knows, whether it's kind of what they're going to do. Obviously, all indications are Bloodshot moving first. They announced it's filming in May, right? So, I think that's going to, safe to assume, probably the thing that anybody sees, Like, there's still obviously other projects that they talked about, Quantum and Woody or Dr. Mirage, to the extent that those things happen, basically I think that anything that is like that, they should keep trying to develop and get it out there, because any one of those, they can try to push those books in the comic market, point to, shared universe, or at least like a shared, comic background, like when you're trying to talk to people and explain why they should care, like when you're trying to sell the next TV, like, from the makers of Dr. Mirage comes Quantum of Woody. Like, that could be a game changer, especially if, and I don't know if it'll happen, but, like, if they really did make a pilot for Dr. Mirage and it got picked up and it was on the CW, you got to have a Dr. Mirage, bam. That's how Marvel does it. And in that case, like, if you didn't do something like that, you are just completely missing the opportunity to actually make inroads in the mainstream comic market.
Let me ask you about that, though, because from my understanding, it doesn't make any difference if you have a comic book based on whatever show's coming in, right? So, like, Arrow and Flash and things like that, the comics don't get a bump from TV show because it's two different kind of audiences.
Yeah,
so, like, what kind of bump is Valiant going to get from having a movie show when it doesn't work for Marvel or DC, right? So, like, Marvel's going to do, they're relaunching Black Panther. Because Black Panther the movie has been such, but I mean, outside of that, we never get any other kind of time. DC did a Legends of Tomorrow, like, 6-issue mini. I don't think anybody bought it. I don't even know if it finished to be. And I know that the ongoing books don't get a bump off of that, Or like when Supergirl went to CW, it was a big thing for people watching CW. They didn't even do a tie-in book with the comic. So what does Valiant feel like that's going to be different for them?
That is a definitely solid, because that's like a lot of people say, you're absolutely right. I just wonder if a difference between, being a Marvel and the kind of like recognition and sales that those things typically get versus, being an independent who's at 1% market share, you do that and you try to push the book, like maybe you can get another percent, you know? I don't know. How about this as a rebuttal art? The Walking Dead.
I knew that's where you were going.
So The Walking Dead doesn't sell comics. It's like the most popular TV show in a decade.
All right. So I think The Walking Dead is a slightly different thing. For some reason, Image has a couple of books that, with the extra media attention, they do get the additional sales. So Walking Dead is one of them. But I don't know. Like, Image has a different, like, we'll just say panache. Because, like, people buy Saga, but there's no TV show for Saga, right? But, like, the first, I don't know, the first four or five trades of Saga sell gangbusters all the time. But then after that, you end up getting a drop-off, right? And there's not even a TV show or anything to back it up. The Walking Dead seems to be a little different, and I don't know what it is that Kirkman has done to give him that extra oomph, you know, because I don't think Walking Dead is the best book that Kirkman has done. For me, that's Invincible, and Invincible doesn't have a media tie-in, and it just ended, but it's been going on for, I don't know, like 17.
Yeah, I don't know. It would be interesting, I guess, to compare sales for all those, you know, like on a macro or whatever, to have the data and speculate on it. I don't know. It's like, it's just open to debate about whether that would do it. But I feel like, you know, definitely people look to that as, you know, a strategy to try to break into your market, at least the comic market. I don't know. At this point, maybe nobody cares if they're really a player in the comic market. They're only looking at the movie. I don't know.
Well, and surely, like, if you have some kind of media tie-in, you'll sell those books to fan base, right? So I don't think we have sales numbers yet for last month. Oh, you know what? They probably came out. I haven't looked at them. But I'm sure, like, the Valiant versus, or Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe comic that's been, didn't sell very well, you know, even by Valiant standards. Have you looked at those?
I forgot. Yeah, and I don't know, maybe they would have had more, had they launched the, you know, web series in some way, like simultaneous with the comic series. And I actually rumor last year that they were going to launch the web series in January, which would have lined up with how it actually rolled out. But I don't know. Again, like news items, sounds like that's actually going to happen.
Well, I mean, is it? Because we've been hearing that for a while. I just posted a tweet from last year that Ronnie made. It was a picture of me passed out on a bed because I was wasted. And the tagline is something like, you know, waiting for Ninjak vs. Valley Unit. And that was a year ago because C2E2 is in 30, as the time of recording this, in 37 days. So it's almost a year, still nothing. And to be honest, that thing's not coming out.
Am I wrong? Like, I feel like among other, like, I've seen shit on Twitter and I've seen, I swear it's in the most recent issue of Ninjak Versus that they're like, for sure release in April, you know, like, I don't know. Like, I get your skepticism. I can't knock it at all. But at least they're saying that's going to happen. I agreed at this point. Yeah, like why get our hopes? I think it's a good thing when it comes out.
And here's the other thing I wanted to add. Like, at this point, I don't even think I want to see it. You know, because we've got all these Marvel TV shows on Netflix. There's a couple in Hulu, right? So, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. gets played. It's an ABC show, but it gets played on what's the one? Oh, God, I can't remember the name. The one with the young kids. You know what I'm talking about.
The Marvel show?
Yeah, the Marvel show.
Gifted? Runaways?
The Runaways. That's the one. It's a Hulu original. I mean, the Runaways is fantastic. Not just for a comic TV show, but a TV show in general. It's fantastic. And I think the bar has raised so far up for these kind of new media shows that to put out this Ninjak Versus thing right now, it's just more of a, well, you know, we've been talking about this for years kind of thing, put it out, than like an actual stepping stone into a successful property. You know, I don't think it even matters anymore. I think what I really want to see is whatever this Dr. Mirage show is keep talking about. What's the other show that they've been talking about for a while? The Quantum and Woody one, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'd be more excited about. I want to see that, right? Because that's not some kind of side production to kind of test the waters type of thing, right? I think the time for that is long gone. And had it come out a year ago, it might have been okay to do so. But I think at this point, like, you just can't go that route anymore. You have to go big. You know, you have to be in a network that people watch. You have to make it a Netflix exclusive or, you know, whatever the hell else. Other than that, it doesn't matter, you know? And what really excites me is the amount of boost that I'm seeing with Shadow Man. Right, because it just announced, I don't know, like a week or two, that they were going to be doing the pre-order bundle for issues 11, the next two arcs. And to me, that shows me that that's the way to tie it into a property successfully. So the Shadow Man movie has been talked about for, I think, J. Michael Straczynski was the one that originally wrote the first script for. And dude, this was like at least 3 or 4 years ago, if not longer. It might have even been around the time that the books relaunched in 2012. And I think that's the way we need to go, right? Like, they need to have something big, right? So you said Bloodshot movie's gonna start filming in May. Like, that's what I want, right? I don't care, like, whatever the actual thing that you're doing is, doesn't really matter to me. But A, it needs to be worked on actively, successfully, right? Like, it has to be actually something that's happening, not something like, we'll be announcing this in, you know, 6 months. Like, next year, Harbinger Wars movie. Like, that's not news. No one cares about that anymore, right? And I think part of that is the way that the marketing has gone through has kind of jaded so many people that the people that actually care about don't. That's not what we want anymore because we've gotten so many great things from other places. To just give us some half-assed thing is irrelevant.
I gotta say that I'm really looking forward to seeing all those characters up on screen. From what I've seen, at least the costume looks super legit, dude. And I see what you're saying, although I might just kind of the quality of a lot of some of the, you know, Marvel TV shows, you know, I don't even know the CW or, like, you know, various other, like, TV level superhero shows. I think by and large, like, I watch the effects, I'm like, that's fucking like, episode one of Legion, par exemple, like, I watched that and I'm like, that is the worst special effects I have ever seen in any. So, you know, tough love for, but what, you know, like, my point is, it's all context. Do I think that Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe should or will go to a Netflix or Hulu? No, like, I think it's going to be free and it's going to be like, you know, send this shit everywhere, and that's what I intend to do, actually. Like, I'm gonna send that, you know, all these whatever comic YouTubers and see if they want to like cover it. Like, I'm gonna put it on my Facebook every time it comes out and be like this is like the most awesome thing, you know. It's like, I've been waiting for so long, Jake, and talk to the Valiant fans, you know. Like, we don't know how successful franchises, you know, like, it's a big assumption, especially superhero franchise. Okay, so we're getting into it and we're definitely gonna get a dozen plus Valiant movies. Really, you know, like I don't want to like to be negative, but if Bloodshot wasn't a huge resounding success in the box office, you know, like, I don't know if you feel confident to launch another like ream of Valiant movies. I think they could spook and you know, like, talk to people and be like, well, there's a lot of comic books and, you know, like, why should you deserve special treatment? So if we don't get a MC level shared cinematic, this could be the only time we Arik, you know, like Exo Manowar movie is going to be $1 billion. So I think there's something exciting, especially to longtime Valiant fans who have been promised since the 90s, have never seen it once ever. So that's going to be awesome. And, you know, if you put it out on YouTube, expectations would be lower. Like, Superpower Beatdown get like 10 million hits per video. They're going to be like pushing it for sure because they put a lot of work in.
Okay, but what has that done for those properties that they do their videos on? Absolutely. And what makes you think that it's going to do anything for the property when it's a Valiant? Just because you want to see the things on video doesn't mean it's going to be good. I mean, look at the Ninjak series, dude. It's straight, the plot is straight from the web series. And you can't tell me that you've enjoyed that.
You don't listen to VCR?
I do.
I actually, reading the second issue, that it was like that different from, like, it felt like Valiant.
Sure, but translate that into video. I don't think you'll feel the same way. That's what I'm saying.
I'm willing to be forgiving.
Well, that's the problem, right? I don't want Valiant fans to be forgiving and complicit when we get something just because we got something. See what I'm saying? When we get something, I want it to be the best possible thing that we could possibly get. Especially at a point in time now when this has been going on for years and we still haven't seen it, right? And we can't conflate the two things, right? Because the comics are still going to be separate from whatever movie and TV we get. It's the same with Marvel and DC, right? And some people hate some of the Marvel stuff or the DC stuff because it's not like the comics. And guess what? It shouldn't be like the comics because that's boring. You already read that fucking story, dude. If you want that story, go read that comic. You see what I'm saying? I don't want Valiant fans to be complacent and accept whatever we get because it's something that we've always. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying I'm not going to enjoy it. Of course I'm going to enjoy it. I've been waiting for this for, you know, 20, how long now? 26, 7 years? Of course I want to see it.
I mean, I think that the point is, so I and other people, reasonable people, would see the context in which it comes out and be like, wow, this is made for, you know, the whole thing was made for like $500,000 and it's going to, and like, you know, they did a pretty good job, you know, like,
yeah, but that's not gonna sell anything. That's not gonna sell a movie. And it's not gonna sell, right. It's gonna make you feel happy because you're finally. That's all. That's the point I'm trying to make.
What's wrong with that? You know, like, can't that be a moment where all are like, hey, this is great. Like this is something that we all wanted, and it finally came. You know, like after a long time complaining that like, when's it gonna happen? You know, it took longer than usual. And here's what I'm saying. You know, we don't know that it wasn't DMG was standing in the way of it coming out, you know?
That's possible, of course. But right now it doesn't matter, because right now DMG is Valiant.
Yeah. I mean, I that's only one thing I would, where it's really like people, you know, say, you know, like, you point to the whole publishing. Everybody's like, look, this was, Dinesh was working on all this stuff. And I agree. You know, and let me give a shout out to Shadow Man, because, you know, like, I happened to see Andy Diggle on Future Shock the other day. And I'm like, I'm stoked for this. You know, that was Dinesh who did that. And obviously everybody else, Warren and the whole crew. But that's something that was a long time in the making. This series is something, it was like, that was his and Josh's baby, you know? So I think there's a reason to get excited if it comes out. But I, again, as you know, like, we'll wait and let it come.
I have a question from our buddy Ronnie.
Word.
Will this be Dysart's last book with Valiant? On a scale of Trump's hair to C2E2 wasted, how much are you looking forward to it? It's a great question.
That was all. That was the whole thing. Was from Ronnie?
Yes.
Hell yeah! What's up, Ronnie? Oh man, C2E2 wasted. All right, let's use that as a like a kind of a merciful segue into happier territories. If that's not
there, you go.
A problem with you.
There you go. No, absolutely. So I brought it up,
Ronnie. You did it.
You did it.
Okay, dude. I'm still like getting Dysart back. Do I think that it could be a swan song? Absolutely. Like, the way they describe it sounds like it'd be, you know, like, really the downfall of Harada. Which, as an aside, I wonder how that's going to tie in, like, Fall of Harbinger, especially. You know, because we've seen the death of him. And maybe they argue that's not what, you know, that's not his downfall. That was after his downfall, what caused him, you know, like, maybe that was choice. He's like, I gotta go. Or, you know, like, I think also maybe it must tie in like Bob Ninjak, where he launches New Japan up into space and towards the Earth.
Yeah.
So I think my hope is that it lines up those and doesn't throw those out or in jeopardy as far as continuity. So I'm interested to see that, but I definitely, all indications are that they're like spec Dysart back after that. But, you know, it's maybe less necessary. You know, like he gets to tell that's Harada. I'll take what I can get at the point.
So for anyone that has no idea what we're talking about, there's been a new book announced, a 6-part miniseries, prestige format, from Joshua Dysart, with art by Kafu and a rotating cast of this. So Suyon, Luz Zarosa, Adam Polina, which is, it's interesting they're going to do a bunch of artists in this. But we've seen Valiant do that kind of thing before, and I think it worked out pretty well. If you do it correctly with the type of storytelling, then I think it can be successful, right? So, like, if you tell different timelines of story with different artists, it works fine, right? So I don't think that's a thing to in particular, because it's Dysart writing the book, right? And we all know Dysart can do, or that's what I love. But I agree. I mean, obviously, we love Josh Dysart. We had him on the show. It's been probably two we've had him on. But fantastic guest. And he's an amazing writer. And he doesn't, I don't think Dysart gets the type of recognition that he does to get. Because he's done some amazing books for a lot of different. I mean, I would say his Unknown Soldier, I wouldn't say Vert, freaking incredible. Some people can't read it because it is very realistic, I guess. But that's the kind of writer he is. And you know, if you follow Josh Dysart on social media, if you've ever met him in person, the kind of person. And he's truly a genuine person. And he brings all his real world experiences to the types of books that he writes. And I think that's what sets him apart from, he really is something. And dude, when this was announced, I couldn't wait, because this has been in talks for like at least a year, maybe two, that he's been working on this secret Valiant project. And to finally see it announced, there's a lot of people that have gone by the wayside in terms of their Valiant. And I've even seen those people genuinely excited to see Josh come back and tackle this book. It's the life and death of Toyo Harada. And from the stuff that we've seen, the escalation of the type of story that from Harbinger through Imperium has just been incredible. And I can't wait to see this. I think it's something really special. And yeah, I do see it as kind of a swan song for Dysart, kind of finally being able to finish telling the story that he's been telling now.
Yeah, you said it, dude. And like, Valiant has and has had great writers, you know, and like we don't have to run down the whole, you know, like I would say, given everybody, like, arguably finest Dysart in terms of what they've done and the, like, of stories that they have told, you know, and obviously it's all tape, but yeah, I mean, like he is definitely that they have to offer. And nice to give him a chance to, you know, tell this story for Harada, you know, like get to finish in a sense, you know. Mm-hmm. I do have to wonder, I was thinking, putting it here, A, like, I feel like Dysart himself had, via some kind of social media, that this was coming out in 2018, and I got the sense early 2018. So it seems like this, for some reason, DMG, has been delayed a year.
Yeah, maybe, close to it.
Maybe, yeah. Right. So for whatever reason, we were supposed to get this, and I don't know why it is only showing up sometime in 2019. You know, we can speculate on what month and that could be. I was discussing this with some Calgary.
Shout outs.
Giving credit. So that's interesting. It's kind of side tangent. I also, Psylords was delayed, notably, from when it was kind of teasing out to question mark, will it ever happen?
Yeah.
Because of,
right.
You know. Basically, DMG is my punching bag for all the, you know, whatever. I don't want to say broken promise, you know, like disappointments, etc. Like, it was all them behind.
You'll get over it in a year.
Let's hope so, dude. And yeah, let me just say, you know, like, announcing this book was a huge thing is for the doubter, of which I probably am the louder in the crowd. Feel free to agree.
No, I agree. I mean, I'm not on Facebook anymore, so I don't know what's going on in the groups, but from the people I still talk to and follow, then absolutely.
Yeah, so like this kind of thing is bread and butter. Like, this is good news. Like, note the value. Good news. Like, let's get more of it, you know? Like, I know there are other be announced. When those new books are announced, I feel like I have faith that they're going to be well received, and another sign that, like, all is well and we don't need to worry.
I agree. Dude, I mean, all right, so look at all the news that's been coming out in the last week or two, right, since the last book came out. So you've got a Harbinger Wars pre-order bundle, okay? So, I mean, that depends on whether you do digital or physical copies, all right? But if you're doing physical comics, that's a great freaking deal, right? You get these special pre-order covers. You're going to get the whole series anyway, so what's it matter? I think that's really good news. You've got the Harbinger Wars Compendium, which is a freaking gigantic book. It's like almost 800 pages in a hardcover for $60. And that collects Harbinger 1 through 14, Bloodshot 1 through 13, the original Harbinger Wars miniseries 1 through 14, and it's got a prelude to Harbinger Wars for $60.
Is that out in May?
That's out in, did they announce that? Yeah, May 2nd.
Yeah, right before the event.
Good. Right before the event. Okay, all right, exactly, that's my point. Right before the event. So if you want to get to know all these characters that matter, you want to get to know Bloodshot, who's obviously a big part of this universe, here you go. You've got, obviously, the Life of Times Toyo Harada, okay? Which, I mean, you can't target your core more than bring in Dice Harbinger. I think that's a given, right? Like, everybody, without a doubt, nobody has ever said anything bad about anything that Dysart has ever done. That's why it's become a joke in this podcast, right? Josh Dysart is the end-all be-all. They announced these pre-order bundles for Shadow Man, which, that's not a big thing in and of itself, but they've announced the next year's worth of stories for Shadow Man. And I mean,
yeah, dude, that's huge. That is huge.
Looking at the synopses for the arcs that they've announced, like, this book is gonna fucking rock, right? And like, when Dinesh was still in the company, he always said, you know, like, we take stuff away, so you want us to bring it back, and when we bring it back, we bring it back big. And that has maybe not always worked out, and we'll see. Shadowman's not even out yet, so we'll see how it goes. But judging by the stuff that they've shown, both in images and in the solicits for the arcs, this seems like it's going to be a damn good book. And then, you know, you've got Bloodshot Salvation, you got Ninjak, you got X-Amanda War, those are the three yawns right now. Those have been hitting pretty hard since they started, okay? Exos has some issues. We're not going to talk about that. Exos has some issues, but, like, Bloodshot and Ninjak, no sweat. Especially Ninjak. Ninjak's been, like, top-notch perfect, position one. And sure, like, that's not a DMG direction thing. That's already been in the planning. But they're not changing that. We haven't seen that change. Shadow is looking really good. I don't know if you saw that Valiant High is going to print. That was a Comixology first book last year. And I don't know if you read it, because that's been a while, so I wouldn't remember whatever you guys talked about on VCR from a year ago.
Valiant High didn't get... I think they did the first issue, but I did read it for ViewBlog, and it was pretty good. Pretty good, maybe quite good.
I thought it was excellent. And not necessarily because the story itself was excellent, but I thought the stuff that it was trying to do was really well done, right? Because this kind of book hits a completely different audience that Valiant doesn't normally hit. Because most Valiant fans are, you know, like 30 to 40-year-old guys who just want shit blowing up all the time. And this was characters we know in a high school setting with different roles, but the same powers. And I thought it was really well done. You know, that was Kibble Smith's first book before he got on Cotton & Woody. The art. Derek Charm, who's a Archie guy, or Jughead. And then
David Barron.
And David Barron doing the colors. And it was freaking awesome, dude, and nobody was talking about it. You know, and that's kind of what irks me, because if you're a Valiant fan, why aren't you buying this? It was really fucking good. Now it's going on print.
And I mean, it's actually related. I think the reason why, you know, a lot of people may not have bought it is because it was digital only, and for some, that's an option. Like, not for me, not for you. Even if you were a paper reader and you saw some value reading it, like, I don't know what would necessarily stop them from, but you know what? Now it is. And Justin and the rest of the Collecting Valiant guys, like, pick up all the variants, you know? Like, let's get a metal cover for Valiant Highs.
By the way, you called it, right? Harbinger Wars 2 getting a metal cover.
It's a good idea.
It is. It is.
That's such a good idea. Oh, my God. I feel like Justin Juan and Jim, they'd be so pissed. For Valiant High.
Yeah. But so you see what I'm saying? Like, sure, some of this stuff might have been in the works for a while, right? But the thing is, like, we've already made the change, and these things are still here. So there's nothing.
Okay.
What are we worried about?
Just devil's advocate. The Harbinger Wars announcement from, whatever, 2 weeks ago, that was basically they shuffled whatever Eric Heiser's involvement was now all in a prelude. Whether or not that changed content, we shall see. If it's not about any of the secret weapon, you know, cast involvement in events, I would question if that's intended. We shall see. I don't know. Like, what's your take on Kibble Smith leaving Quantum and Woody? Because conspiracy theorists might look at it, but you know, like Daniel himself says.
Look, here's the thing. He already has a full time gig writing for a very successful TV show. So if he says he doesn't have time, why are people saying that's a conspiracy? He doesn't have time. He writes for a show that gets seen by millions of people every night. So can you blame the guy if that's what he's doing? I don't blame
him. Whatever. I'm just asking the tough questions, I guess.
No, I know. I understand that. But
it's all about timing. It's the timing. Ooh, you know, it's like, I guess that's what drives Chris crazy. It's like, why this happened a few weeks after this other thing?
Well, you know, the thing is, like, people, look, people have evolved. If you don't believe in evolution, like, just turn this podcast. People have evolved. Our brains evolved to see patterns. So you're always going to see patterns in every single thing that happens. Okay? And right now the pattern is Kibble Smith is leaving. DMG just acquired Valiant. He's leaving because he doesn't like Dick. And whether that's true or not, I don't know. I'm sure Kibble Smith knows. I'm sure Valiant knows. But we don't know, so why the fuck are we talking about? You see what I'm saying? Like, I don't like to talk on the podcast about, like, rumors and, like, what could have been. Because what could have been is irrelevant. The only thing that matters is what is, and what is what we know, and all we know is he's... And I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm not even reading Quantum and Woody. I read the first issue, it was fine. But I wasn't, like, uber excited to go out and get the name. And I get preview copies, and I don't even...
Yeah, well... I think that you should check out his shit. Like, I'm touting that pretty highly, but...
I heard you talking to Sean about it.
Yeah, you know, like on the whole, you know, I think I probably prefer Asmith, but it's still been pretty good. And yeah, I'll go in further and say that, you know, I have sufficient faith in Elliot Rahal. Like, he can pick it up and do a good job. You know, he's co-written with Kibble Smith, co-written with other people, you know, like, on some pretty good series. He's done a pretty good job in Valiant. It's definitely a nod to him. Like, you got the ball now. It's not a one-shot. It's like, you're the guy who's forward however long the series is. So, I mean, that's...
Sure. I mean, I guess. I don't know. I was thinking about that, because I heard your episode of VCR talking about Conan Wood. And it had me thinking about, like, Christopher Priest doing Quantum and Woody, right? Because, like, he had some fun stuff. But, I mean, Priest didn't write a funny Quantum and Woody, you know? Like, a lot of it was pretty serious, and there was some deep shit going on in there. And I know you say you prefer Asmus over Kibble Smith, and, I mean, I love Asmus. But at the same time, like, to me, that wasn't Quantum and Woody. Right, I mean, I really enjoyed, in particular, the first four issues of that run, Tom Fowler and art. But to me, that wasn't necessarily Quantum and Woody. And from the discussion that you and Sean had on VCR about Quantum and Woody, it seems to me like that third issue was something that I would enjoy, because it reminded me a little bit more about the more hard-hitting stuff that Quantum and Woody used to do 20 years ago. And Quantum and Woody has kind of become a buddy cop book, and it's fine. But to me, that's not what the book is.
I mean, I would just say that, you know, like, Asmus, like, Quantum and Woody is hilarious. You know? Like, there's a lot of jokes there. But I really do think that was a decent amount of serious, emotional, you know, character stuff mixed in. Like, it was really there. Like the relationship between brother and father and son, you know, kind of, like, the race thing. Sure. Like, I feel it was, like... getting mixed, you know, like, it's not just a joke, like under Asmus, and it's not that now. And I admittedly, I had the Asmus for read the Priest for, so that also is kind of, like, they're my quantum for right. Sure.
And it was great. I mean, but, I think Quantum and Woody Must Die. Oh no, it was a Valiant size Quantum and Woody, was my favorite Quantum and Woody story, and it was completely nonsensical. But again, like, to me, that's just kind of, you know, washing it down a little, trying to make it appealable to a wider audience, which never quite caught on either, right? So I don't mind the hard-hitting stuff that deals with race and family, where it's not just, you know, dick joke after.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good to strike a bit. Like, I think they've always done that, and they can, yeah. And I also like Valiant Size Quantum Woody, and I think that Evil Woody, I'm hoping, turns out to be the new series.
Evil Woody, yeah. So, you see, there's tons of stuff to love.
Okay, dude, like, let's just get some more announcements, dude. Like, you and I, right? Like brothers, Psylords is announced. I'm going right to the tattoo. Come on. We're making a pact right now. You laughed, so you...
Sure, why not?
No.
Count me in. It's gotta be done in Valiant Vision ink, though. It's gotta be all...
Valiant Vision!
Yeah, it's gotta be, like, all yellow, a yellow tattoo. That way I can see it in my Valiant Vision.
That is enough. But, okay, but that, though, implies, though, that it has to be a bed of solid black.
Sure, right? Count me in.
That's how Valiant Vision works. If you don't have that, it doesn't actually...
Yeah, you can only use black, red, and yellow. Any other color does not work.
Yeah, well, you have the green, and that's like green and blue and whatever. Like, that doesn't pop.
But right, exactly.
Like, it needs like a heavy, dark fill behind it, and I don't think I'm on board for that.
No, I'm not on board. But, I mean, I want the damn Psylords, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how many episodes I've talked about it on. I've heard about this book for like almost 4 years now. Fucking put it out.
Well, yeah, because that was teased twice in Free Comic Book, and most recently as Winter 2017, right?
Yeah, and I heard about it in an off-the-record interview after a con, like, 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, well, let me just say that as soon as Silo is announced, this is my offer, you know, and it's good, like, no expiration on it. As soon as Silo is announced, I'm on Team DNG, okay? Officially.
You heard that, DMG. Put the book out. Travis will love you. Love you a long time.
Yeah, and by proxy, the rest of us. We're all on.
No, that's cool. I'm down. But we gotta get tattoos.
Okay, but not Valiant Vision.
I mean, you do whatever you want. Look, if they put this book out in the next 6 months, I'll do a Valiant
Vision. All right. Well, we're already 3 months ahead right now. So...
What I'm saying is, I don't think it'll be announced.
I mean, do you think that there's going to be a summit like there has been in past years?
That's a good question, man. And the thing is, I don't think the last summit was as good as the first one. The first one was really well done because they did all that live streaming and all that. It was in theater. Like, invited people to come. I think with Dinesh gone, some of that is gone as well, right? Because it just seems like the direct connection to fandom there.
I don't know, man. I hope not. You know, like, obviously it's not going to be the CEO, but, like, can we get Hunter to, like, be that now or somebody? Like, I don't know. Like that's gotten every time they sure. It just, I don't know. Like, I think there's that, especially, you know, where you have negative Nancys out there questioning come out.
Well, I'll ask Hunter next month. I think Warren's going to be at CB2 as well, so I'll see if I can talk to him. I'll try to get all these. But the thing is, like, I don't want to ask about any of this. Because I'm sure, like, they don't want to, like, how is this whole thing going to change? Blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm kind of over it, and I'm sure they're way over it.
Yeah. I'm sure that's the, like, everybody is.
That's fair.
It's never really been addressed at all. So, I mean, who's the new CEO? You know, like.
It's that guy.
It's Mintz. He's for sure.
Yeah, he's.
Okay. So no CCO.
Right.
No. All right.
I mean, I guess technically the CCO is, like, in most companies, Warren, the editor-in-chief.
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, from the interviews that I've seen on stuff lately, it seems like Warren's just the guy in charge of story now. Want to know about story, that's the guy to talk to. But I'm pretty sure he'll be in Chicago. C2E2 is in 37 days, so I'll see.
Nice. Yeah, like we should just line up some...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have another one. I think it's time. Been like 60 episodes.
Was it the 100th episode? That was the big?
Yep.
Yeah.
Episode 100.
Yeah, that was a good
one. Let's wrap this one up, though. This has been a good one. Good discussion, Travis. I'm glad I promoted you.
Thanks, buddy.
Anytime.
Yeah, I'm just glad to be on the team.
Well, I'm glad to be back in this episode, because I loved it. And I'll be back for the next one, too. Travis will be. I don't know if Paul will, but Travis will. So, thanks for tuning in to the Valiant Vision Podcast. If you want to support the show, there's very good ways to do it. You can go to patreon.com/Valiant Vision Podcast. You can go to nerdlegion.com/audible, sign up for Audible. You get a 30-day free trial and a free book that you get to keep forever. So, go do that. Who doesn't like free stuff? Especially if you have a... Travis, I don't know what you can... Mine isn't very long. Mine isn't very long. But yeah, you're in Hollywood, so I'm sure you can traffic. You can sign up and get... And if you don't like it, just cancel. They don't charge you anything. You get to keep your broke. That's it. You want to get in touch with us? At Geekvine is me. At The Great Magnet is Travis. At Who's Paul? Is that Paul guy? at Valiant_Central is the show, and nerdlegion@gmail.com is the email address. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back in a couple weeks. Thank you.